Mother's Day always reminds me of a number of things that I'm very grateful for. One, my own mom, Bobby Jameson. A number of y'all knew my mom. And what an instrumental influence and investment that she made into our lives, taking us to church. And my dad as well was very much. But my mom was the one who was so faithful to make sure that we were in church every Sunday. And this morning I want to talk to you about God's creative design for women. But I am reminded not only of my mom, but of a few other ladies that I would like to just mention that I'm grateful for. And that is a lady named Alba Zuber. And Mrs. Zuber worked with us, her and her husband, when I was in junior high. She made a tremendous investment in my life. Karen Sanchez, someone that many of you know well. You know, as a young man and her relationship to Pete. And so she had a tremendous influence in my life. I'm grateful for my sister, and some of you knew her, Debbie. And so God used Debbie in some really great ways, particularly as I was a young man. And then obviously my wife, who just came in, and I'm so grateful for Kata, and I'll have more to say about her. But, you know, as we think about Mother's Day, I am reminded of the women that God has used in my life to influence me. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for all of you. There's some wonderful ladies that are here today. Your fellowship and your relationship and your encouragement to me has meant so much. So I want to thank you. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31. As we talk about God's creative design for women. And I think it's important because obviously, you know, and this is where I feel a little bit torn today. Because, you know, you think about moms and you think about being Mother's Day and flowers and going out to eat and gifts and all those kind of things. But the truth is we are in a battle. And if you look at the place that God has always intended in creation and society, the gospel and the word of God and what God has done through his purpose has always been to try to put women and children into the place that he desires. And so, you know, part of our society takes some of what we have in the Bible, but, you know, they turn it around. And you could disagree with this statement. I'm not, you know, I'm not going out on a big limb. But even, you know, the women's liberation movement or women's lib movement, as we call it, you know, it comes out of the fact that in our culture that women were not really given the place that God desired for them. I mean, you look at some of the things that are in there. You look at, as we're going to read Proverbs 31, you're going to see some of the things that the women's lib movement was trying to push for. And so it's interesting how we live in a culture of contradiction. So let's read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. It says, "A wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." That's good, isn't it? "She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate. where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants and sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and with faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. God, we are grateful, Lord, for your design for womanhood. Lord, we pray that in this time, Lord, in this very year that we live and the struggle that we see in our culture, Lord, that you would help us to be clear about the role of women, their identity, the role of the family, both husband and children. And so, Lord, would you minister to us today by the power of your Spirit through your word? We are grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've heard it said that some ladies would say after reading that they are exhausted. Well, when you read Proverbs 31, these verses 10 through 31, and I mean, they really are a portrait of God's ways. I mean, this is really, it's not just about women, that's the thing. It's about the family, and it really is written, obviously, about the Hebrew family and God's purpose in the family. It's interesting. I want to read you just something that President Obama said. He actually said it in 2008 on Father's Day, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he said this. He said, of all the rocks upon which we build our lives, we are reminded today that family is the most important, and we are called to recognize and honor how critical that every father is to that foundation. They are teachers and coaches. They are mentors and role models. They are examples of success and the men who constantly push us forward in it. Now, I know that's about fathers, but it's interesting to me because he is saying something that in our country that we are, I think, trying to address in a different way, and that is how important the family is. And ladies, you were created as an equal. I mean, God created you, and he created man. He created your husband, and there is a difference in the way that you function and your role, but your value to God is the same. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so when we talk about the family, we're talking about the foundation that this country needs. There's a lot of discussion right now in our country to do something, and I know I'm going to touch on something that's political, and some of you, you know, are very fired up over this. But the whole thing about socialism, all right? Socialism is just a way to try to respond what is not happening with Proverbs 31 in our country and in the world. Isn't that right? I mean, I would pray that President Obama and other presidents, rather than trying to say, okay, well, what can we do? So we're gonna take money, you know, away from very successful people to give it to other people when we are wasting so much money with our tax dollars. What we ought to be doing is holding up the Proverbs 31 model, which is about family. It's not just about the ladies, men, and young people and children. It's not just about your mom. It's about the family and how important it is. And so President Obama, he's right about that. And so I pray for him today. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Let's just pray for our country. I pray, Father, for this very thing. God, I lift up President Obama, I lift up all of our leaders, and I pray against the strongholds, Lord, that have come against this country and other countries, Lord, that deceive us into believing, Lord, that the answer to these things are through political means. God, it is not. Lord, it is through your design of the family. Lord, I pray that the church would rise up to become, Lord, that we would build our families, Lord, that we would be the kind of moms and the kind of dads and the kind of young people and children, Lord, that you have desired for us to be and that you have made a way. And we thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember Kata, in the early years of our marriage, got involved in Supermom. And you know, you could almost, as you read Proverbs 31, it's almost like you could read that and say, that's Supermom, you know. And there were a lot of good things that have come out of that. But ladies, you know this. There are a lot of expectations on you that are very unrealistic. And I want to say to you that the Proverbs 31 model that we've read today and the design that God has for you, I mean, this lady obviously is very gifted. This lady has tremendous resources. So I want you to understand that God is talking in here about the character. He's talking about holiness. He's talking about the nature and his ways that we can live. And so I want you just to relax, okay? And don't take this as trying to be, I'm going to be all of that stuff. You know, I'm going to run out of here. You will wear yourself out if you try to do that in your human effort, okay? So let's just release you and encourage you this morning. But I have just five things that I want to highlight this morning as we talk about the design, the creative design that God has for women, okay? As a wife, you are to be capable and strong in character, which brings great value to your husband. Ladies, I want you to know that you are designed to do that. You're designed to bring great value to your husband. Obviously, in the verses 10 through 12, you know what it's saying? It's saying that your value is priceless. It refers to it as a ruby. Now, men, this may be why women love jewelry so much. But do you understand that your value is priceless? That's what it's saying. Not even rubies, not even jewelry, not all the money in the world can replace your value. It says that your husband trusts you. How many ladies would say, that's important to me, that my husband trusts me? And you know when that goes on in your relationship, how valuable, how important that is, that your husband trusts you. It says that he lacks nothing of value. I think the English Standard Version or the New American Standard says that he doesn't lack anything of gain. Ladies, all that you can do contributes to his well-being. One of the things that I've seen in soon to be 30 years of marriage to my wife is that she has invested and contributed to my well-being. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, that what she has invested in me, what she has encouraged me to become, and the way that she has been so faithful, and the value that she has brought to my life. Oh, listen, I can't, there aren't enough words to be able to describe, you know, how great her contribution has been in my life. So I want to tell you, babe, I love you, and I'm so grateful for you. And listen to what the scripture says from Proverbs 18, verse 22. It's the English Standard Version. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I found a good thing in Kata, and I can't even say that I found her. It was God that brought us together. And when I think about my relationship with Kata, I think about God's favor in my life. I realize there's a tangible, there's a physical and spiritual manifestation of God's love and favor through our relationship. Listen, that's what God desires for every husband and wife to have. You believe that? Will you work towards it? Will you pray towards it? Will you invest yourself building each other up? Oh, listen, it's a tremendous thing to have a wife who will contribute to your well-being. Secondly, as a woman, you have been designed with God-given sensitivity to detail and situation and meeting the needs of the others. Let me say that again. As a woman, you've been designed with a God-given sensitivity to detail and situation and meeting the needs of others. Now, how many of you ladies would say, yes, I know, I've got that gift down real well? It's all right, you can raise your hand. How many of you feel like, I mean, every week you are meeting the needs of others? Come on, that's what I'm trying to get to, right? That's right, you are. But you know what? God has made you with a sensitivity to do that. And some ladies, I see some of the ladies are shaking their head. It's like, how come I have to have that sensitivity to that? Because that's the way God designed you. Now listen, this is what you need to hear. Ladies, your good works are one of the best demonstrations of your relationship with the Lord. So when things are breaking loose and the kids are going wild, it's like we had a gathering last night for Clarissa, and Maddox was with us. And when the night came to an end, he wasn't ready for the night to end. The other kids were leaving, and he was laying on the kitchen floor, stretched out, whining and crying. And so Kata told him, you need to get up, or I'm going to call your mom, and you're going home. You know, and it's in those kind of times that where he had a need for discipline and correction, that she's got to rise up and give. In the middle of serving a host of people and cooking and doing all those things. And I realize, you know, and I hear it from ladies, that it is easy for you to be weary. But I want to say to you, ask God to help you, to give you balance, to give you the strength that you need. Husbands, you need to help. The challenge, I know that we have a number of single women that are here that are parents. But I see the ladies in this church, and what I see is through your good works, it's a demonstration of your relationship with the Lord. You're gifted in managing your household. Actually, there's a word in the Greek that means that as for the married ladies, that, you know, we know that you're an extension of the spiritual leadership of your husband. But that phrase means house rules. In other words, that you rule, that you reign over the household that you have, the things that are going on there. You pay attention to the various needs of your family. That's what it's saying. And listen to this. The atmosphere in your home resonates with God's grace and peace. Man, that's a great thing to go into a home and you sense the woman's touch. That the Spirit of God, God's grace, and God's peace is in that home. And ladies, you have an instrumental part in bringing that to your home. Husbands, she does. She does. We need to pray for them. We need to help them. We need to build them up and encourage them. And ladies, you hear the Lord's voice as you begin to serve and you begin to do these things. I mean, you're talking about extending benevolence and compassion to others outside your home. The Lord speaks to you. You've been designed that way. You've been equipped. And it's why that ladies can be good in business. Why? Because what is business about? It's about meeting the needs of others. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10 from the New Living Translation says this, and it's talking about widows, but here's what it says. It says, she must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been unkind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? And has she always been ready to do good? That describes these ladies that I see here. And you say, Pastor Dennis, but I'm struggling in some of those areas. Yes, I realize that. Because the model that we have and what God desires for us to become, do we miss the mark? Absolutely, we do. But God is saying that He has created women, He has created moms to be as He desires, which is a demonstration of who He is, His nature, and His character. As a mother, your care for your family exemplifies sacrifice and protection. Now, ladies, you can relate to sacrifice, can't you? You can relate to the whole thing of protection. You know, what where are the kids? What's going on, you know? Why do you do that? You do that because you were created that way. It's just in your nature. Now, you know, some ladies may be more that way than others, but it's in you. It's in you to make sacrifice. Why? Because a mother's care reflects God's love for his children. I mean, if you think about what God did as he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made, the very nature of that love and the willingness to do that resides in you spiritually. It's why you are so protective. It's why you're willing to get up early. It's why you're willing to stay up late and do all the things that you do. You're willing to make sacrifice. You're willing to be sure that your children are protected. I mean, you look at it, I mean, throughout history, Moses, his mom was willing to never see him again in order to save his life. So she put him in a basket and allows him to float down the Nile River. Why? Because she's willing to make sacrifice so that he might have life, that he might live. That's God's nature. That's God's nature. And the thing about God is that God doesn't just, God just didn't have Jesus Christ die on the cross, did he? That today, that he is actively watching over us, protecting us, providing the care, and pouring out the resources, his resources that we need to live our lives. That very nature that's from the Heavenly Father, ladies, it resides in you. As a mother, you have been given the grace gifts to train and prepare your children to honor God in their lives. Recently, for William and Amy Whalen, they came and they asked us to dedicate their child and to pray. And we did that. That very nature of wanting to commit our children and dedicate them to the Lord, listen, that resides strongly in you, ladies. I remember my mom, who as she took us to church, and I think as she lived her life, I think she tried to do the very best that she could to demonstrate how important it was to serve God and to allow his purpose and plan to be fulfilled in our lives. I remember that so clearly. And, you know, my mom and my dad both had faults. But I'm grateful that my mom was that kind of woman. I'm grateful that she got up, even on Sundays when my dad didn't go to church with us and stayed home and watched church on, you know, on TV, that she was there and she was teaching us the value of the scripture, trying to live her life, trying to be a good model, trying to train us and prepare us to honor God with our lives. The word nurture, it means that which promotes growth and feeds and nourishes. Ladies, you are a nurturer. God created you that way, and you've been given this capacity to nurture your children, you know, especially when they are young. You are gracious and you are kind in your instruction to your children. Now, last night with Maddox, we were gracious to him because we told him, if you don't get up off of that floor, we're going to call your mom and you're going home. And the thing he was crying about is he believed, as he was headed to the bathtub, that he was going home. He got in the bathtub and he cried and he cried and he kept saying, Yaya said, I'm going home, Papa. Yaya said, I'm going home. But you know what? We were just instructing. Kata was just giving him instructions. And the grace that he got was that he didn't get what he really deserved. You express your commitment to God, as I said, by dedicating your children to him. I have talked with many of the moms that are here. Many of us have older adult children that are really trying to find their way and to find God's will and purpose. And I don't know that I, you know, as I talk to parents, there's such a strong sense among moms about this, wanting to see their children dedicate themselves to serve God, to have a close relationship with the Lord. And again, why is that? Because it's God's nature that He's put in you. And last is this, that as a wife and a mother, your works will bring the blessing of your family and others. Let me just read Proverbs 28 through 31 again from these four verses. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I want to say to every husband, give praise to your wife. Do you know when I sit down with couples that I think that one of the number one things that I hear from them is that they are tearing each other down rather than building each other up? And I'm grateful because Kata has always, I have said, when she talks about me, she makes me sound so much better than I really am. Why? And why does she do that? Because she's building me up. Well, she's sown that. And so I want to bless her. I want to give her the praise. I mean, you know, the things that God has done in her life speak for themselves. But I want to be a part of that because that's what the Scripture says that I need to do. Listen, the community and the culture that we live in is dying to see healthy families. They're so desperate to see the role of a husband and wife who are loving God and loving one another and loving their children. Did you understand? I mean, when the family goes, society goes. And that's what's happened. And we're running around trying to do a lot of things politically. The church has lost its voice. We have lost our way in certain aspects. And God, through the Scripture, is calling us back. Because the health of your family, the health of your relationship, when you give praise to your wife, listen, you are setting something, you are investing something in future generations for your children. Husbands, let the praise out. Let it go. Let it fly. Give it to them. Bless them. That's what the Scripture says to do, isn't it? Oh, listen, give her the reward that God has helped her to earn. We're not talking about it's what God has done in her. Young people, bless your mom. Be grateful that you've got a mom that has a healthy fear of God, that has godly character, who respects the Lord. That is a blessing in your life. Don't be disrespectful to her. Listen, don't fall into the trap. A lot of young people are disrespectful to their parents. And the Scripture doesn't say that the Scripture doesn't even teach that your parents have to be believers to show them respect. So how much more should we give respect and praise to our moms when they're godly women, when they have godly character? In closing, let me just make these statements. The humanism that is active in our culture today deeply, deeply challenges the biblical role and identity for all women and for the entire family. You know that's true. You also know it's true that God created men and women in His image. And so this morning, as we have read from these verses in Proverbs 31, it's important to know that the book of Proverbs wasn't written, you know, to pass on some wise ideas that we ought to consider that might be good to do. It was written to help people know the ways of the Lord. Wisdom is not just knowledge that we add to our life. Wisdom is the way that God is. And the reason that we have to be transformed and be changed is because the scripture says what? It says that our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And so this isn't just knowledge. It's not just something for us to consider that might be good to do. It is the way of the Lord. It is holiness. It is showing us the model of the family and how the family is to function together as God designed. Someone said that the Hebrew term to know, in other words, Proverbs talks about to know wisdom. But that phrase to know carries a sense of personal encounter and fellowship that goes beyond merely intellectual curiosity. The purpose of these verses that we've read this morning is to gain a commitment of young adults and old to live moral lives that God has created and prepared for us all to live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what your word says, God. Lord, I pray that Proverbs 31, though we may look at it and think that it's just addressed to ladies, Lord, we know that what you have written it for is for all of us, God. I pray, Father, for every family. I pray for every single mom that is here today. I pray that you would help us, God, by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word. Lord, thank you for these ladies that are here today. Thank you for the way that you've created them. We bless you and honor you for such wonderful gifts in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are going to take communion. And during the message, one of the things that we talked about was how that the very nature that a mom has, the very sacrifice and care that she gives, is truly a reflection of the Father, the Heavenly Father. So today, as we come to prepare ourselves for communion, I want to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised from the dead that we might have life. And that today that he sits, the Son, Jesus Christ, with his Father, to pray for us, to extend the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that today before we take communion. Personally applying your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that by believing in him, that you receive life and that you become a spiritual son or spiritual daughter of the Heavenly Father. I invite you to do that today. I'd like to ask the men, they would come as we prepare to serve the bread and the juice.